said Verence. Margaret had witnessed some of Nanny Ogg's humorous recitations, especially the ones with the gestures. She nodded gravely. "Provided," she said, "and I want to be absolutely sure you understand me on this, provided she takes up her post after the wedding."
"Oh, oh dear, really?"
"After the wedding."
"Oh,
trust me."
"Well, of course, if it makes you happy."
There was a commotion outside the double doors, which were flung back. Nanny Ogg and Granny Weatherwax stamped in with Sean trying to overtake them.
"Oi, Mum, I'm supposed to go in first to say you it is."
"We'll tell them who we are. Watch her, your majesties," said Nanny.
"Blessing be upon this castle," said Granny. "Magrat, there's some doctoring needs doing here."
Granny swept a candlestick and some crockery onto the floor with a dramatic motion and laid Diamander on the table. In fact, there were several acres of table, totally devoid of any obstruction, but there's no sense in making an entrance unless you're prepared to make a mess.
"But I thought she was fighting you yesterday," said Magrat.
"Makes no difference," said Granny. "Morning, Your Majesty."
King Verence nodded. Some kings would have shouted for the guards at this point, but Verence did not, because he was sensible. This was Granny Weatherwax, and in any case the only available guard was Sean Ogg, who was trying to straighten out his trumpet. Nanny Ogg had drifted over to the sideboard. It wasn't that she was callous, but it had been a busy few hours, and there was a lot of breakfast that no one seemed to be interested in.
"What happened to her?" said Magrat, inspecting the girl carefully.
Granny looked around the room. Suits of armour, shields hanging on the walls, rusty old swords and pikes. Probably enough iron in here.
"She was shot by a elf."
"But," said Magrat and Verence at the same time,
"don't ask questions now, got no time. Shot by an elf, them horrible arrows of theirs. They make the mind go wandering off all by itself. Now, can you do anything?"
Despite her better nature, Magrat felt a spark of righteous ire.
"Oh, so suddenly I'm a witch again, when you—"
Granny Weatherwax sighed.
"No time for that either," she said. "I'm just asking. All you have to do is say no, then I'll take her away and won't bother you again."
The quietness of her voice was so unexpected that Magrat tripped over her own anger and tried to right herself.
"I wasn't saying I wouldn't. I was just—"
"Good."
There was a series of clangs as Nanny Ogg lifted the silver tureen lids.
"Hey, they've got three kinds of eggs."
"Well, there's no fever," said Magrat. "Slow pulse. Eyes unfocused. Sean?"
"Yes, Miss Queen?"
"Boiled, scrambled, and fried. That's what I call posh."
"Run down to my cottage and bring back all the books you can find. I'm sure I read something about this once, Granny. Sean?" Sean paused halfway to the door.
"Yes, Miss Queen?"
"On your way out, stop off in the kitchens and ask them to boil up a lot of water. We can start by getting the wound clean, at any rate. But look, elves—"
"I'll let you get on with it, then," said Granny, turning away. "Can I have a word with you, Your Majesty? There's something downstairs you ought to see."
"I shall need some help," said Magrat.
"Nanny'll do it."
"That's me,"
said Nanny, indistinctly, spraying crumbs.
"What are you eating?"
"Fried egg and ketchup sandwich," said Nanny happily.
"You better get the cook to boil you, too," said Magrat, rolling up her sleeves. "Go and see her." She looked at the wound. "And see if she's got any mouldy bread." The basic unit of wizardry is the order, or the college, or, of course, the university. The basic unit of witchcraft is the witch, but the basic continuous unit, as has already been indicated, is the cottage. A witch's cottage is a very specific architectural item. It is not exactly built, but put together over the years as the areas of repair join up, like a sock made entirely of darns. The chimney twists like a corkscrew. The roof is thatch so old that small but flourishing trees are growing in it. The floors are switchbacks. It creaks at night like a tea clipper in a gale. If at least two walls aren't shored up with bulks of timber, then it's not a true witch's cottage at all, but merely the home of some daft old bat who reads tea leaves and talks to her cat. Cottages tend to attract similar kinds of witches. It's natural. Every witch trains up one or two young witches in their life, and when in the course of mortal time the cottage becomes vacant, it's only sense for one of them to move in. Magrat's cottage traditionally housed thoughtful witches who noticed things and wrote things down. Which herbs were better than others for headaches, fragments of old stories, odds and ends like that. There were a dozen books of tiny handwriting and drawings, the occasional interesting flower or unusual frog pressed carefully between the pages. It was a cottage of questioning witches, research witches.